Step into a world of adventure and join our players in Waterdeep Dragon Heist. We are thrilled to have you, but we would be even more thrilled if you became a patron of our podcast on Patreon. I'm Dungeon Lord Jay, and this is Quest.
This house from Volvo? God, this house sucks. But it's ours, and we don't have to keep paying Dern anymore, so I guess that's good. But Magic Dan almost died to a toilet monster. Also, I'm pretty sure this house is haunted. But besides all that, the neighbors are real nice. We met this super nice elf lady named Daisy May, and she has a greenhouse, and she was sweet. But I'm pretty sure it's because of my family. We also met this Genasi couple. They fight like mom and dad, but I think they're dad and dad, I think. Also, there's this creepy cat house, and cat people are weird. Sorry, Magic Dan. Meowsalini's cool, though. That attendant was kind of a dick. He said I didn't have an appointment. Fuck that guy.
Nestled between two townhouses stands an ostentatious store. Its facade has multicolored stucco, red carved wooden beams, and colorful banners. A cheerful sign above the entrance calls this place Storefront's Storefront. Cam, L, Magic Dan, and Tay enter and are met with a chaotic scene. Shelves line the walls, packed to the brim with an eclectic assortment of goods, from barrels of flour and sacks of grain to pots and pans dangling from hooks overhead. Tapestries and rugs for sale hang from the rafters, and an entire wall in the back is floor-to-ceiling shelving loaded with leather-bound books, tomes, and scrolls. Near the front is a sturdy wooden counter laden with clutter, behind which is a small, red-scaled creature with draconic-like features. He wears colorful robes and spectacles at the end of his snout. He's a kobold. When you enter, he will look up, see you all, and a huge grin grows upon his face.
Welcome to Storefront Storefront. I'm Percival Storefront. How can I be of assistance?
Well, Percival, we're introducing ourselves to the neighborhood. We're your new neighbors down the street.
Yeah, hey, feller, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, thank you. What would you like to get for my store?
Your last name is Storefront?
It was my father's name.
So that's why you call it Storefront Storefront? I was wondering why that you had the double name.
A long time ago, my father came to Waterdeep to give his children a better life. When he came here, his name was Huntala Punda Dulkandla Kushka. But he was unskilled and had to take a job as a mannequin in a storefront. That's where he took on his common name.
Yeah, that other one was quite a mouthful, so yeah, I can see why you kind of shortened it.
Absolutely. He worked as a mannequin his whole life, enough to save up and buy this shop. I carry his legacy.
He was a mannequin?
Absolutely.
How long did this store stay open during the day?
Sometimes 10 to 12 hours a day.
Just standing still, modeling stuff?
He is a prime model mannequin.
How much are the scrolls in the back?
Very good question. Some of them are art, the rest are spell scrolls. It depends on the level of the spell and what spell it is in order to purchase it.
What can one gold get me?
Excellent question!
He will jump from behind the counter, and you'll really notice how small this guy is. He's a tiny little kobold guy in these ostentatious, gorgeous robes. He will begin digging through the chaotic mess of this shop. He will pull out a wooden prosthetic hand.
Here you are.
I can do 2 silvers for a hand?
I don't think so. You asked for how much?
A scroll?
Oh, there, you cannot get a scroll for 1 gold piece.
You sure?
Absolutely.
Damn. 5 silver for the hand.
Make a persuasion check.
22.
You drive a hard bargain. Fine. Deal.
He will take the silver from you.
I'll quickly grab the hand and put it in my coat.
You know, Dan, this is a lot better than, like, Mr. Purple with the hands down the pants and the money, but I still feel like this is pretty weird, right?
I mean, that's coming from the guy who bought a bag of teeth. I mean, I guess his weird wooden hand is also kind of strange, but it's kind of in line with what we've all been doing, really.
You have found uses for the teeth, correct?
That is true, and I still got this big, dumb wooden egg. Hey, feller, can you tell me anything about this little wooden egg I got here?
Let me take a look at it.
Yes, take it. See it.
He will study it over.
Ah, yes, I see. I can take this off of you if you want.
What's it going to hatch a tree or something?
It's a wooden egg.
Well, what is it?
It's a wooden egg.
You seem weirdly about it.
Don't mind me. I'll buy it, though.
How much?
5 silver.
Oh, that's not even what I paid for it.
A gold.
This thing cost me 4 gold. I'm not going to give you no 5 silver for it. How about 8?
You've got a deal.
8 gold.
Damn.
Ha ha, you should have waited until I finished.
As a kobold, I am contractually obligated to now take it for that price.
He's right, you know. They are contractually obligated to take that now.
I am not very happy about the way this went down.
Well, we won't stand around in your store anymore and take any more of your time.
Very good. Do come back if you need any general goods or anything.
Yeah, I don't want to be standing around like your dad. All right, see ya.
You exit storefront, storefront.
I was fucking rude.
Hey, does that prestidigitation, will that, like, clean up that place a bit? Because we got a ton of mold.
It'll take me a while.
And you got that mend power, right?
It'll fix some things.
Yeah, come on. Let's use our magic practically in some sort of mantage fixing up the place.
You guys make your way back towards Trollskull Manor. As you do, Magic Dan, you will see, coming around a corner, almost bumping into you, is a gold dragonborn woman. She wears red and yellow robes. She has a large metallic hat on her head in the shape of a wide-brimmed bell and a holy symbol of a gear around her neck. You will recognize this woman as Valletta of the House of Inspired Hands. She notices you. Behind her is a tall, lithe figure moving with a strange gait. It appears to be a mechanical construct made completely of bronze plates and whirling gears. It carries a few shopping bags in its arm.
Oh, this is a crazy day. We met a kobold who said his father was a mannequin, and a mannequin, that's a person.
What the fuck is that thing?
What is that?
Hello, Valletta. It's one of her projects. I see you finally got it walking around. That always creeped me out. I thought it was better as a hat rack.
Why can't you do this?
I'm working on it.
You made light with teeth. She has a fucking machine.
Well, I know. It's pretty impressive, but it's really freaky, too.
It's also practical.
It is insanely practical, and I'm mad that she came up with it first.
Is that Magic Dan?
Hello, Valletta. How are you?
I cannot believe I'm seeing you right now. You're not still on about that practical magic starring Sandra Bullock thing, are you?
I know she is the heartthrob of the 90s, and I don't know why I know that. All right. Well, anyway, yes, I am in town nowadays. Things are old, looking up for old Magic Dan. I'm an adventurer now, playing my practical... Oh, damn it, Valletta, you're always cutting me down.
I'm sure Big Unsie would love to hear all about this.
You can tell him all about how I just wrestled Trollskull Manor away from some vagabonds in the sewers.
Oh, what a great accomplishment when Big Unsie has made this.
And she will motion towards this figure, this robot behind her.
God, I can't believe you got this automatron working around here.
Actually, it's a Nimblewright.
I hated that name. Automatron sounds way cooler.
Well, more than a dozen were just sold to Zardoz Zord, the host of the Sea Maiden's Fair.
Oh, I bet he would, that jerk. I worked on that project a bit. I designed the feet.
We no longer use that in our models.
Oh, come on. The 6th toe is the balancer.
But that sounds like proprietary technology. I feel like Dan should be owed some sort of compensation for working on part of that project.
Yeah, listen to this fellow who talks like a lawyer for some reason.
Take it up with Big Unsie at the House of Inspired Hands.
You don't want to do that. That guy's got a lot of power.
Is he big?
No, he's tall for a gnome. He's my former brother-in-law.
So you were married to a gnome?
Yes, technically. All right, look. I was married into the Bitsy family. I used to work for her father, and that's how I kind of know all the family and why they all kind of currently despise me. Except her mom, always liked me.
Miss DeLion was quite beautiful. Miss Bitsy was quite beautiful.
Hold on. Dan, your last name is DeLion?
Yes, my last name is DeLion. My name is Dan DeLion. Damn it, how did you even know that? I never say that to anybody.
If you will excuse me, I need to get into the store you're standing in front of.
Yeah, I just sold him a really great egg. Maybe you can go sit on it, you weirdo.
She ignores your comment, and her nimble right move forward into storefront.
You know, they didn't use that six toe. You know how I know? Because that thing's walking like it has to take a dump.
They should owe you some money, Dan. We'll get to the bottom of that.
We smash cut. You guys are in the tap room of your rundown Trollskull Manor. Just as Renair, Volo, and Floon are leaving.
Well, thanks for unloading this dump on us. I mean, I guess it's a roof over our head, but...
Volo will say, I know this place isn't much, but maybe with this amalable grease and a bit of coin, you can restore this place to an operating tavern.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I'm just going to get my own supply, so that's probably not a great idea.
I want you to know, Vovo, that when you do come back here, you cannot have a tab at this tap room.
Ever.
Understandable. As Floon, Renair, and Volo go to leave, Renair will say,
I owe my life to all of you. We both do.
And he gestures to Floon.
I hope to see you all again soon. If you need anything, please let me know.
Elteor, you know where to find me. Do you mind walking me out?
Bye, fancy feller. Thanks for saving us from getting killed by them chicken people.
I do so appreciate you guys saving me. I thought I was dead for sure.
You probably were gonna be.
You always have a friend in Floon Blagmar.
I know we gave you a bunch of crap, but you seem like an all right feller.
Thank you.
Okay, that's enough. Tone it down a bit.
I can't hold it anymore.
And he'll jump on you and give you a big hug magically.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I need to smoke.
As Renair and El, you walk out together. Renair will lean in close to you.
I don't know why, but I have the suspicion that I'm being followed. I think I'm going to lie low for a little while.
It's probably a good idea.
I've seen enough danger in the past 10 days to last a lifetime. But here, take this.
And he will hand you a piece of parchment. Do you remember those paper birds we used to send each other when we were children?
Of course.
Contact me if you need me.
Okay. Stay safe.
You too.
This paper bird, this paper that he gives you, is a magic item. When you write a message on it and fold it in half, it will fold itself into a paper bird and fly to whoever you're thinking of when you finish writing the letter. Floon, Renair, and Volo are gone, leaving you in your new manor house. What would you guys like to do?
I'm going to bring that mirror upstairs. I kind of want to see what the deal is with that. Possibly even sell it. I bet it's worth some nice coin.
Tay, can I ask you a favor?
What's up?
Can you clean the beds?
Sure.
What do you guys want to do?
Cleaning montage.
You guys spend the rest of the day doing your best with whatever magical aid you have and mundane means to tidy up the house the best that you possibly can. It's still not great.
Well, I guess I'm going to turn in. I've had a hell of a day getting electrocuted, running to my ex-wife's brother's friend who I hate. I think I'm going to turn in. Come on, Mousselini. I'm going to let you sleep behind my legs like a little leg fork.
And I think Elle's going to actually sleep downstairs, back against the bar, but watching the door.
In the morning, you all wake up. And you all come downstairs to meet each other. El, you're the last one to wake, because you stayed up trying to keep an eye out. As the group of you descend down the stairs, you will notice, in ash and soot, there are words written all over the place. And all over El's face.
I got a dick drawn on my face.
The words, get out.
I think this might explain the plate.
What plate?
The plate that got thrown against the wall.
I thought that was you.
No.
We established it was him, right?
El, why'd you draw all over your own face? Were you sleepwalking or something?
You're among friends. If you sleepwalk, it's fine.
I don't sleepwalk. What are you talking about?
I've known many dreamwalkers in my time. It's fine. You can walk around sleeping. You just have to tell us, so when we wake up and see, like, Cam's gonna, like, throw his arms out to the side and gesture widely. This, it's more understandable.
I think I'm gonna go over to where Magic Dan brought up the mirror and go look at it and see what's all over my face.
Yeah, you can see "get out" written backwards across your forehead and on your cheeks and your chin and some on your neck in charcoal, in ash.
I like that they made the O's your eyes.
Are you guys fucking with me?
No.
I didn't do this.
If I was going to fuck with you, you'd know it.
Clearly not. I slept through the whole fucking thing.
Well, what the hell? Who's writing "get out" all over our house? Did we really make that little feller mad at that storefront?
You might have.
Okay, I did. I kind of went a little hard on him. Sometimes I take it out on others.
Do you think Valletta would have come back here to try and get you out of a nice house? Shame you even more?
Oh, send her a little clunkerbot? Nah, you would have heard that thing all over the place.
And why would she do it to me? She wants you out of here.
I'm pretty sure she's more of like a boxing glove on a spring kind of gal rather than a psychological warfare.
I'm going to reach in and grab a handkerchief out of my pocket and wipe my face down.
You all hear a thump on the door.
I was going to walk over, just whip the door open.
You rip the door open, and on the front stoop is a rolled up newspaper.
Oh, shit. We have newspaper here. And I'm going to go ahead and pick up the newspaper and look at it.
You open the newspaper, and L, on the front page, you notice a drawn image of what appears to be a couple of burned buildings. And standing before them is the City Watch and some members of the Watchful Order of Mages and Protectors. In the center of the image is your brother. The headline says, "Tragedy averted. Fire ravages enchanted elixirs."
Fuck. Guys, you know what? We're just going to bring this inside. We're going to go ahead and read this. I'm going to show him the paper and explain that my brother is looking, what the whole article's about.
This article explains there was an alchemical mishap at a alchemist shop called Enchanted Elixir, and it caused this great fire, and it burned down two houses, or almost did. The fire brigade couldn't stop this fire. The Watchful Order of Magus and Protectors Fire Guard, under leadership of Captain Elifer Fomalin, leaped into action and doused the fire, saving everyone from losing their lives. Though the scars of the fire will linger, the courage and dedication displayed by Captain Elifer and the Fire Guard serve as a testament to the resilience of Waterdeep in the face of adversity.
Oh, wow, El. Is this why you became an adventurer? To follow in your brother's footsteps?
Yeah, it looks like he's a dang hero, man.
Oh, everybody loves fucking Elifer. Yeah, he's fucking great.
I mean, he stopped a fire. We almost got killed by pigeons.
They did have bows. Let's not downplay it.
Yeah, well, I guess if Elifer was here, you guys wouldn't even have to even worry about it.
Granted, El did save our lives.
He did. That is very fair.
That is true. He kept Meowsalini from being an orphan, and that's what's important to me.
As El puts down the newspaper, you will see on page 2, "Heroic intervention thwarts Lord Neverember's abduction in Dock Ward Warehouse."
I told you, Dan. I told you not to give them a lot of information.
Hey, we made page 2. Man, if it wasn't for that fire, we'd be on the front page, right?
Fucking page 2?
That's pretty good, man. We're not on the back or nothing.
We shouldn't have been in there.
There's only 2 fucking pages.
In a stunning turn of events, the courageous efforts of both City Watch Captain Staggett and a band of fearless adventurers have averted the nefarious abduction plot targeting Lord Renair Neverember, scion of Waterdeep's esteemed lineage. For the past 2 10-days, the vigilant Captain Staggett of the City Watch has spearheaded a relentless investigation into the surge of criminal activity plaguing the Dock Ward. His investigation culminated in a daring raid on an inconspicuous warehouse along Candle Lane, suspected as a hub for illicit trade. Unbeknownst to Captain Staggett, sinister machinations were at play. Lord Renair Neverember, son of the esteemed former Open Lord, fell victim to a nefarious kidnapping 3 days before, suspected to be orchestrated by the notorious Zentarim. Held captive within the very confines of the warehouse under surveillance, Lord Neverember endured torment at the hands of his captors. Lord Neverember's grim fate may have been sealed had it not been for the valiant intervention of four daring adventurers. Guided by the practical inventor Magical Dan, this intrepid band followed the trail of the missing Lord to Candle Lane Warehouse. From their recollection, the gate was downed, and we figured we would look inside. The adventurers were assaulted by the criminals, but their swift action thwarted the impending tragedy and secured Lord Neverember's liberation. According to Magical Dan, his inventions worked effortlessly in assisting in the rescue. Captain Staggett, at the helm of the City Watch, initiated a decisive raid on the warehouse that fateful night. The aftermath of the raid revealed a grim tableau of conflict, where two rival gangs clashed in a deadly showdown. 13 assailants from both factions lay lifeless from the assault. Had it not been for the brave heroes who stepped in, Lord Neverember may not have survived the attack. When asked about their thoughts on the city's efforts to combat crime, one of the adventurers said, "I think every citizen should be proud of Staggett. In the face of adversity, their commendation stands as a testament to the valor of Waterdeep's defenders." And then the article continues a little further, explaining the findings of the raid and more information about the rise of gangs in the city.
Cam's face is going to go immediately red. Like, you're going to see he's not changing to a different person. Like, his skin is starting to turn red. There is so much fucking wrong with this article in this paper. Dan, I told you no names.
Okay, calm down.
And there are still names. And also, who said you were our fucking leader?
He obviously took artistic liberties with it. Let's just hope that the Bitsy family gets the paper.
Well, I can tell that because at no point did I say Staggett was this valiant, heroic... he's an asshole who showed up at the right fucking time, Dan.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That guy sucks. I didn't say that at all.
Cam's gonna, like, throw the paper behind him and, like, walk off to a different corner in the room.
Hey, I was gonna keep that paper and then mail a bunch of copies to the Winston family.
No, Dan, it says the Zentarum are looking for us. It says it. You read the fuck... You're a smart man, Dan. You are a very smart man, right? The Zentarum are bad people.
Oh, yeah, those guys suck. I think I got a mind fire.
And they know your fucking name. Keep the article. Mail it to your family, Dan. Send something to Bitsy.
They didn't know our name. That was you. You said our name.
Just Magic Dan.
Well, technically, I'm the only one mentioned in the article.
So you're just going to leave? You going to let us live our lives now?
Well, no. I'm kind of hanging out with you fellas because we got a house together now.
So then people know Magic Dan, inventor of practical magic. Our names are on the same fucking deed. That's a contract. We are legally binded, Dan.
Okay, well, maybe they'll just think we're friends, or now they'll know where he got a gang, and they won't want to mess with us.
But did you see the part where they said that the gate was down?
They did totally say that, didn't they?
Stupid.
All from, like, behind a door in a closet in the back. You're just going to hear a muffled, like...
Cam, you okay, buddy?
Not now.
So that kind of complicates things. So we have the Zentarum looking for us, or Magical Dan and his fucking friends.
Okay, in fairness, I shouldn't have said I was the leader. I don't remember saying that, but I was pretty drunk when I was talking to that little fella. I may have said that.
Door rips open. You're goddamn right, and, like, slams back closed again.
I realize that we're more of a democracy. But
no, we didn't say names. We just said that we hang out at the Yawning Portal.
Well, this seems like a good time to think of some practical solutions to our problems. Like,
change your name?
No, my name's cool. I've already changed it once to this.
What was it before?
DeLion, Dan DeLion. My whole name is Dan DeLion.
So you just added magic to the front of it?
Yeah, now you don't say the last name. Now it's like two names still. Magic Dan.
So we have a few things to work out now, so we have that. Also, the house is still a problem. It's fucking haunted.
It's starting to seem more like it. There is a ghost here. Ooh, what if we use the ghost to our advantage? I mean, it's living here. Maybe we can make it, like, be security.
I think Cam is going to step out of the closet as a completely different person. Like, he's like a small little dwarf right now because he does not want to be recognized in the same presence as you currently. I'm going for a fucking walk.
Oh, hey, it's a door. Oh, yeah, sorry, I forgot Cam does that. All right, have fun. Man, he is really steamed.
I think it was that leader comment. I think that's what did that.
Oh, yeah, again. I'm sorry I took credit. Or did I? I don't remember. I think that guy just said that.
And now I got to deal with my brother. Fucking front page. I'm the back fucking page. Like, we couldn't even get the front page.
Well, technically, he doesn't know you're on the back page. He only knows I'm on the back page, and I'm pretty proud of that. If there hadn't been that alchemical fire, we would have made the front page.
You would have made the front page, and I'm still second best.
Hey, don't beat up on yourselves. Comparing yourselves to others can make you diminish your own self. And, like, other isms. Think how great you'll be when you climb out of the gutter and beat these Zentarum guys or whatever we got going on with them.
I'm going for a walk.
Guess everybody's going for a walk. All right, I guess the old Magic Dan gets to visit his house without his pants on.
Yeah, no, that sealed it. I'm definitely going for a walk.
A few days will pass with nothing really important on the docket. I want to go through everybody and sort of talk about what your daily routine is and maybe something that you do in a couple of days that pass without anything important happening. I want to start with Magic Dan.
Magic Dan is going to start working on schematics for a new project of a Roman gun.
What is a Roman gun?
It's a eldritch cannon that will walk around and patrol the house.
Is that real? Does your cannon move?
Yes, it can move.
Yeah, so you can make a cannon, a gun with legs. That's what you want to be working on?
Yes.
That is awesome, and you definitely can start working on that. Is there anything else?
Basically, just drinking coffee and then occasionally, like, floating a feather for Mussolini to, like, bat at. Or, like, taking the rat that he brings me and just being like, oh, man, thanks, Mussolini. That's gross. And then just kind of tossing it off to the side. I will also, after I finish my schematic, go down to my caravan down by the river and put a for sale sign on it.
Magic Dan, as you make your way through the city to the far south of the dock ward, almost the furthest stretch of the city, you will find your dilapidated covered wagon. It sits nestled along the muddy banks of the bay. The once vibrant hues of its paint once spelled out Magic Dan, Practical Inventor. It's now long faded, leaving behind dull grays and muted browns. The wagon's wood frame and canvas creaks and groans with every gust of wind, as if protesting its continued existence. Inside, the place is not as you left it, but utter chaos. The living space is a mess of overturned furniture, scattered belongings, and broken possessions. The cot is shredded in claw marks, and blankets are strewn across the floor. There's a table that lies overturned, surrounded by splintered chairs. Drawers hang open, their contents spilled out in disarray.
Oh, man, they broke my guitar. Dang it, son of a bitch. Why would they do that? Who the damn neighborhood kids? Why the hell are they tearing up a man's things?
When you pick up the guitar, you will realize that crudely carved into the back of the guitar, into the wood, in this really grotesque handwriting, is the words, "Within my grasp."
Oh, man, that is ominous as hell. Oh, well, it looks like they've read the papers. Well, that's fantastic. Well, I guess I have to sell it as is now. Oh, man, they got my other good green smock. God, man, I just... And they tore up all my hats. Oh, man, I spent a lot of money on those.
You lift up one of the hats, and you will see a disembodied hand. A human hand, grayed and shriveled, and it begins to animate and jump out at you.
Oh, shit, fuck!
What do you do? It starts clawing at your face.
Oh, God damn it! And I take the hand, and I just try to throw it out a window.
You throw it out a window when another hand begins crawling up your leg, and then another.
Oh, God, I'm being handed on!
What do you want to do?
Basically start kind of tossing them off frantically, like backpedaling out the door.
You throw off a couple of these hands, and there appears to be more of them. One of them escapes your grasp and begins clawing at your arm, and you will see carved into the top of the hand in blood is the letters T-A. And it begins scratching at your arms and clawing at your face.
Oh, son of a bitch, get off my beard. It's my own beautiful possession. God dang it. Ah, son of a bitch. Somebody out there.
Do you want to try to kill these things or are you just going to run?
I'm going to basically run out the caravan and then light it on fire with a fireball.
You throw a firebolt at your caravan and it immediately engulfs it.
Little tiny crawling claws escape from the inferno and shrivel up.
Oh, God dang it. Now I had to burn down my caravan. Son of a bitch. Bet one of my hats was still good in there. They couldn't have gotten them all. Oh, and Mussolini's toys are in there. Oh, man. This is the worst day. Son of a bitch. Oh, I'm totally going to hear it from Cam. Oh, Magic Dan, this is your fault because you brought the Centaurum down on her head. Oh, now we're not going to have any money because I had to burn this thing. Also, I had to burn this thing. I better get the hell out of here.
Cam, what about you?
I think Cam, realizing the imminent danger that Dan has put us in, is going to try and put on like a very rough, tumble human man, like scar down the face a little bit, really like bags under the eyes, and find like maybe a seedy bar that like has some Centaurum ties to see if I can get some information.
Why don't you make a charisma-based stealth check? If you're proficient in stealth, you can use your proficiency. If you're not, it's just a charisma check.
That's a six.
You try to gather some information over the course. Oh, you know what? You should have advantage on that because you're literally changing your face.
13.
That is a little better. Through talking to different people, navigating the sort of seedy underbelly of the city, you keep hearing a name. Davil Starsong. He can be found at one of the upper levels of the Yawning Portal.
I'm definitely making my way back to the Yawning Portal as I get that name a couple times in my head.
Absolutely. You make your way to the Yawning Portal. Entering and going to one of the higher levels, you will see a private booth surrounded by figures in black cloaks.
I'd like to approach up to the booth and just look to like the guard, like, because it looks like they're guarding the entrance to this. Yeah. Look to like the guards of this area and just be like,
yeah, I heard you guys were, you know, maybe looking for some people around the city, seeing if I can get in on some of that action.
A imposing figure will put their hand on your chest, and you will recognize this figure as Yagra Stonefist. She'll say,
Davil doesn't have any jobs right now. Sure about that, because I'm a real rough and tumble guy just looking for some work. I just got into town, and I really think it'd be nice to get a job here with the right people.
Make a deception check.
9 goes to a 10, so 17.
A voice will come from behind all of the other guards.
You do sound interesting.
Interesting might be my middle name.
The guards part, and you will see, leaned back in the booth is a blonde-haired half-elf. He wears ostentatious clothes, and he will say,
I might be interested, but I'd have to test you out first.
What you have in mind?
Get back with me in a couple days. I think I might have something for you.
I think I can do that, but if there is a hit out on some people in the city, that's my specialty.
That is very good to know.
And I'll kind of like kick my way up from the stool and like real slow steps, kind of sway in the shoulders a little bit. And then as I'm leaving, I kind of want to like look to Yagra and been like, now you know I'm someone not to be trifled with.
We will cut to L. What would you want to do?
So there's two things I'd like to do. First, I'd like to go to the rookery and send off a letter to the steward of my family, just kind of letting him know the situation of everything. And the second thing is, do the halflings play music every day?
They do.
Perfect. As people are walking by, I know we need money for the repairs. I'm going to try to like pickpocket some of the rich people as they walk by.
Oh my gosh. Okay. There is a band of halflings that play on the corner of Trollskull Alley and Sardoon Street every day. You post up around that area. You want to pickpocket a couple of people?
I would like to.
Make a sleight of hand check.
Natural 20.
Ain't no silicone there, baby.
Natural 20s.
In that case, a regal noble woman. You don't recognize her. She walks down the street and pays attention to these little halflings, and she's with her handmaid,
and she talks quietly with her handmaid about how cute the halflings are. She's wearing this really big, wide dress, and her hair stands up tall off of her head and decorated with flowers and all kinds of different objects and trinkets. You will notice that hanging loosely out of her purse is her bag of coins. And you quietly snatch it. Later on, within opening it up, you find 250 gold and a emerald worth 50. Is there anything else you would like to do?
No, I think that'll do it. I think just he'll be mostly just kind of listening to the music and repairing the house when he can.
Taylan, what would you like to do?
I would like to go back to the Destiny's Gate.
Okay. You make your way towards Destiny's Gate. The weathered, once regal, three-story manor of Destiny's Gate stands as a prominent but a little dilapidated structure among the smaller, impoverished buildings of the Field Ward. Its solid brick exterior is adorned with many cracked and askewed windows, and overgrown ivy creeps up the sides. A wild yard, reclaiming the once manicured grounds, sprawls behind a rusted, though elegantly designed, wrought iron fence. There doesn't appear to be any children outside playing, but inside, this faded grandeur continues. Rooms with peeling wallpaper and sagging ceilings, doors hang crooked in their frames, and the floorboards are staggered and uneven, and there's buckets strategically placed throughout the house to catch the persistent drops from leaking ceilings. When you walk in, a flood of tiefling children run towards you.
Whoa, 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 settle down, y'all. Settle down.
Tay, it's so good to see you.
How have y'all been?
There's three children that you are close with. Dante, who is a tan-skinned tiefling boy who dreams of being an adventurer. Myra, which is a red-skinned tiefling girl. She's witty and rebellious, and a lot of the other orphans look to her as like a leader. And there's Kale. He's got this sort of ash-gray skin tiefling, and he's very smart, resourceful, and inventive. Kale will bring one of his little inventions towards you, and you will see what appears to be a clockwork bird that obviously was not made by him, but he's been working on it.
Tay, I found this. I found this in the yard, and look, I've been working on it.
Wow, that's really good.
While you are playing with the children, you will see a large female half-orc in her early 50s, wearing a large apron, her hands covered in cleaning supplies. And she will come from around the corner, and she will say,
"Well, hey there, sugar. What are you doing back here so soon?"
"Well, I came to drop off some money for the children."
"Oh, I'm sure Miss Belveen would just be so happy to see you."
"How are you, Miss Cordelia?"
"I'm doing just fine, thank you. Now go on, sugar. Go see Miss Belveen."
"Where's she at?"
"She's up in her office."
"I hope Mr. Wharton ain't up there."
She laughs at you. You head to Madame Belveen's office. When you see her, you'll notice that her usually perfectly tight hair bun has some fraying hair as she is studiously going over paperwork. She seems overly stressed. As you enter, she will say,
"Ah, Taylan, my dear, it's good to see you. How are things going?"
"Good. They could always be better, but I brought some coin to help out with the orphanage."
"Huh. I guess that adventuring is treating you well."
"Not as good as I hoped." And I'll hand her my coin pouch of 5 silver.
"Oh, this is great. Thank you."
"You're welcome. Is there anything that I can help out with around here? Some cleaning, maybe, or..."
I'm sure that would be fine."
And she sort of looks away from you.
"Everything okay?"
"I shouldn't say."
"What's wrong? You know you can talk to me."
"I try my very hardest to keep matters of running this place away from the children. Even you know little of the hardships we've faced keeping this place running. But you are a man now."
She sighs.
"The magistrate's office took a tax assessment of this property last month. They want 5,000 dragons.
"Like with 3 zeros?
"Yes. The Holy Hands house would help pay if
they were interested in keeping the place.
Let me guess, they could care less about orphans.
They want to sell this building outright to the Guild of Land Ownership.
Those dirty bastards.
Watch your tone.
Sorry, madam.
I've spoken with the magisters, and I've bought some time to keep up with the money. 2 months.
I'll do what I can, because I don't want to see this place go. You've helped so many.
If this place closes, we may get lucky, and the children will be placed in another orphanage, but if there's no suitable place, they may end up living in temporary shelters or back on the streets.
Can't let that happen. I can't.
Don't let it worry you. I'm sure we can take care of this.
I got your back, no matter what.
Thank you, Talon.
All right, let me go get some cleaning done for you.
Over the couple of days, you guys have heard news that the Sea Maidens Fair is setting up in town and will be open soon with flyers all over the town. In the morning, Talon, you hear a strange voice in your head, one that you've never heard before.
I am Vajra Safar, the Blackstaff of Waterdeep. Come to Blackstaff Tower in the Castle Ward at your earliest convenience and bring your friends.
Okay. Hey, guys. Vajra Safar wants to meet us as soon as possible.
Who's Vajra Safar?
The Blackstaff.
How do you know the Blackstaff?
Oh. I don't, personally.
She reached out to you?
Yes, I don't know why, but yes.
Oh my god, the Blackstaff? You're talking about the Blackstaff?
Yes, the Blackstaff.
What's so important about a woman with a Blackstaff?
She is the Archmage of Waterdeep.
Yeah, that woman's like crazy powerful.
Well, that'll do it then. Why is she talking to Tay of all people?
Maybe she'll know something about them hands that were in my place trying to grab me.
The what?
Oh, yeah. I returned to my caravan, and it was, like, full of hands. They were trying to kill me.
How much have you been drinking these past few
days? No, they were, like, straight-up disembodied hands. They were just jumping out of everything. I had to burn the place down.
How did you burn the place down?
Oh, a good old fireball. Oh, yeah. They all just, like, they were all like, eh.
Oh, great. Now my brother gets to be on page one of the paper again.
Yeah, it's a bad scene, but, hey, check this thing out I just made. And I motion over to the cannon walking around on these weird kind of like dog leg looking things that's kind of patrolling around the main bar.
What the hell is that?
I call it gun dog. It's like a guard dog, but it's like a gun. It's going to shoot out some fire and some, you know, some other shit. Check it out. I rigged it to where it can kind of like protect it too. So in case, you know, them Zentarum fellers come in here, then Gundog's gonna maul them.
Speaking of the Zentarum, Dan, how much do you know about Yagra?
Oh, Yagra? I've known me and her go way back. I've known her for several years. She's a pretty upstanding citizen for, you know, someone who'll beat you into a paste.
Are you sure she's an upstanding citizen?
Well, I'm sure she'd do nothing to me. I mean,
why are you asking?
Yeah, why are you asking about Yagra?
I may have seen her with some unseemly characters at the Yawning Portal.
Did you say anything about me?
No.
Oh.
What's a gun?
It's a great practical idea. So it's got like a bunch of like explosive powder behind it, and it just ignites and it launches a projectile out this tube, right? And like I've kind of rigged it to like shoot a fire out with it too, so it'll just like burn those fuckers.
Sounds very dangerous in a wooden house.
Oh yeah, it's crazy dangerous. So like, you know, no sudden movements around it until I got it all dialed in. I've got it to where it's...
Sorry to interrupt you, Dan, but maybe we go talk to the Blackstaff and you can tell us about your gun dog later.
Okay, well, I'm just going to let you know, it knows your scents because I grabbed some of your clothes, so, like, don't invest in any perfumes.
Thank you to Hoodie Cat Game Lounge for letting us record here. Hoodie Cat is holding a special event in partnership with the Charleston Public Library for a game night extravaganza with a diverse selection of board games. Don't miss out on the fun. Please consider joining our Patreon. We have some great stuff on there. Also, thank you so much for listening. I'm Dungeon Lord Jay, and this has been Quest. We cut to a dark, fire-lit chamber. A crawling hand, charred and cindered,
stumbles its way into the room. It faces a desk with a large overstuffed chair. The overstuffed chair slowly rotates, and resting within it is a large troll arm with a tiny little cat's paw sitting on its elbow.
Did you get Magic Dan?
Attention all game enthusiasts. Looking for a place where board games and tabletop adventures come alive? Introducing Hoodie Cat Game Lounge. Whether you're painting the finest miniatures or seeking thrilling adventures in our dungeon-inspired game room, we've got the perfect setting. Gathering with friends for some friendly competition is so easy at Hoodie Cat Game Lounge. For just $5, try out any game in our expansive collection. And if you love it, we'll take $5 off the sale price. It's a win-win. Imagine the sounds of dice rolling, card shuffling, and tokens moving across the board. Every unexpected turn of the game makes these meetups memorable, transforming an ordinary evening into an unforgettable one. Hoodie Cat Game Lounge is located in the heart of the Centerpoint Shops at Tanger Outlets in North Charleston. So pull up a chair at Hoodie Cat Game Lounge, where your next adventure awaits.